Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Happy New Year, everybody. It's the KNC Masterpiece, Hour 4 here on this... What day is it again?
The 31st.
I know.
My sister-in-law.
We're all still
birthday.
There, right? We're all still... We have no idea what day of the week it is. Tuesday. On this Tuesday. Will Chambers,
Happy
Mike Bassett here with you.
To Allie, my sister-in-law, who 100%, and I mean 100%, is not listening to Sports Talk Radio.
Brian Broaddus is here. We'll crosstalk with G-Bag coming up here at the end of the hour. One of the questions that's coming up here, because we had a few left over from Mike's Ask All the Football questions, was a draft one in regards to the Cowboys. And there was one that I picked, a specific reason why. So we'll get to, I'll give you my thoughts on it, but Brian Broaddus will have his as well coming up when we cross with him. Will Chambers, Mike Bassick, Alec Medford back in the Pimp Cup, and we're going to be talking college football with Carter Freeman coming up to preview tonight and tomorrow.
I'm wondering if there's any way Broaddus will just play this Mike Ask Some Football Questions game with us. But he's getting busy. I don't want to make you do it. He just came in here. But I was just like, Brian, if you want to, I'd love your opinion on a few of these questions I have left here since he's wearing his LSU purple today. My first football question of the second Mike Ask All the Football Questions. If you're the Vikings, do you offer Sam Darnold a multi-year contract? And if you do, this follow-up question is, what do you do with your 10th overall pick in McCarthy that you drafted already?
I say absolutely not. What I do is give him the franchise tag. Because my belief, what are we really trying to do here, right? I could be dead wrong and Sam Darnold could win him a title this year. And boy, if that happens, that changes everything. I think he's great with Kevin O'Connell. I have too many years of watching Sam Darnold ups and downs and a lot of them being downs. And I've seen other quarterbacks that have great years not able to follow it up. Case Keenum comes right to mind for me. It's like maybe the last one to do it. But J.J. McCarthy, who is your future, you know, is coming off of the knee. Or was it a knee or Achilles?
I think so.
Okay. And so I still want that bridge a little bit. And I think if you franchise tag, you're at $40 million. That's not That's not too much for me.
Brian?
Wonder if you're in a situation where you could trade J.J. McCarthy.
Now, that's interesting.
There's only two first-round quarterbacks in this draft. Is that the consensus right now?
I have not. I've looked at 55 players. None of them have been quarterbacks because I'm waiting for more film, and I'm starting to get more film.
I'm looking at a mock draft. It's on Tankathon's mock draft.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't mean that this is the way the draft is going to go, or these guys are first-rounders and nobody else is. They have right now Shedeur Sanders going second, Cam Ward going third because of New England picking first. They do not have another quarterback in the first round.
I would not be surprised if Elliott Wolf at Green Bay. I was with his dad in Green Bay. I would not be surprised if Elliott Wolf tries to move the first pick. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, I mean, all the teams now that are at the number one pick that don't need a quarterback are moving it.
Yeah, I think that you might be in a situation. Now, that doesn't help you on your Minnesota situation. I do like Will's idea about the franchise tag. Now, if you go...
But to your point right now... You would have New York Giants at 4, not getting a quarterback. You would have the Jets at number 7, the Raiders at number 8, and maybe even the Saints at number 10, who could be quarterback shopping. They would all possibly, to your point, maybe trade that first-round pick to get McCarthy if they really liked him.
Yeah, if like I say, if say that Darnold ends up to be a one and done. You know, Minnesota's playing great. Don't get me wrong about that. But say Minnesota is a one and done. Then do you think differently about signing him long term?
Absolutely. I think they're probably shaky about it. You know,
yeah, and I like what you're talking about with the franchise tag. I think that's a really good way to play this if you're really interested in keeping him around. But I would entertain the, if you really, really feel like that, man, we're going to get the best from this guy going forward, maybe you can, maybe you now move on. Maybe you move on from J.J. McCarthy and you say it in a way of these teams that might not get a quarterback. There might, some teams might feel better about J.J. McCarthy from last year's evaluations as they feel about the quarterbacks currently in this draft.
Well, think about it this way, too. If you're Minnesota and you're still really, like, you're big on J.J. McCarthy,
yeah,
you got 1 year with Darnold at $40 million.
Yeah.
Which, as big as that is, that's not a huge cap hit. That's a lot that you can do with your roster
still.
There's
no question. Yeah, there's no question you can still do it. He's like on a one-year, $10 million thing, I think, right now. Yeah.
So if then just with $40 million there, you could still build the roster even more so, and then you can turn it over to McCarthy.
Okay.
And then now you got, I mean, I'm trying to think of what quarterback stepped into some really good situations, and Aaron Rodgers is the first one that just pops into my head.
You know, it's so funny. I believe it was 2 years.
In Green Bay for Favre, by the way, not with the Jets.
2 years ago, you had your quarterback at Tampa and Baker Mayfield and J.J. McCarthy on the same Carolina roster.
Yeah.
2 years ago. Both those guys.
You mean Darnold.
Darnold. And Baker Mayfield were on the Carolina roster together.
And both. And this is where we were talking earlier, where coaching, the difference makers with coaching.
Yeah, it matters.
It matters.
Well, let's move on to another situation. You have Atlanta with Kirk Cousins and Michael Penix now the starting quarterback.
Yeah.
Is Kirk Cousins, does he start another game ever for the Atlanta
absolutely
Falcons?
Absolutely not. No. He does not.
Me too.
You're moving on. You're going to do exactly the plan that other teams have done when it comes to eating money. Like,
if Atlanta takes a portion of it,
yeah, they're going to eat this cap.
Do you believe that Kirk Cousins has multiple teams that would want him as a starting quarterback?
I think there's teams that would be interested in signing Kirk Cousins, yes.
Okay.
I wouldn't say multiple. I would say interested.
Like Darnold coming into this year, I would think.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Next one. Right now, the Cowboys have the 13th pick. Tonight, Aston Jeanty plays. I'm all in this game. I'm not saying whatever Aston Jeanty does, I want him or don't want him. I'm not putting that on him tonight. But I found this interesting in this mock draft. That pick 10, 11, 12, and 13 are all playing either tonight or tomorrow night. Pick number 10 right now in this mock draft is Starks. The safety from Georgia. Safety for Georgia. Yeah. Number 11 is Kelvin Banks Jr., the tackle for Texas.
Yes.
Number 12 is Jalon Walker, the linebacker edge for Georgia. And number 13 right now, the Cowboys pick. They have them selecting Aston Jeanty, the running back for Boise State. If all of those players were on the board for the Dallas Cowboys right now today, who would you pick and why for the Dallas Cowboys? You want to go first, Broadus, since you know the most?
Well, let me go first I want to see if he – my initial instinct was Banks because I think Banks will play guard. And
I think he will, too, in the league myself. I have him listed as a guard.
And I don't know what the answer obviously will be there, but to me, to get this thing, if we're looking at as quick of a rebuild or retooling, whatever you want to call it, is solidifying what you've got in the trenches. And, you know, Williams obviously is a defensive line guy with Georgia, but it's been a little shaky on the offensive line. And so that's where I think if you've got Banks there possibly to replace Zach Martin or just at least at the guard position, I think I would do it there.
The way I would rank these guys, I would go Jeanty, Banks, Walker, Starks. That's how, in what order I would pick them. Now, again, my whole plan, if I'm picking somewhere in that top, because right now I've got 15 first round grades. Right now. I mean, we'll see with the quarterbacks and how they play, but that number, I think most people on their board will have between, like probably, usually you'll have between 18 and 22 real first round grades.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're at 15 right now.
Okay. If the Cowboys win and go to 8 and 9, obviously they won't most likely be picking 10 through 13.
They will
drop some spots.
16.
All right.
Something like that.
Now, unfortunately, I'm not saying unfortunately, I guess just as this draft, mock draft plays out, you don't have another player playing in the playoffs in college football until pick 21. And that is Benjamin Morrison, the cornerback for Notre Dame.
Yeah.
The Cowboys seem to have depth issues at quarterback, at cornerback now.
Yeah.
Is he a first-round
grade?
This
is the kid that got injured, right?
Is he
the one that got...
Revelle, the kid from East Carolina, is the one that's the best. I have yet to see the Notre Dame corner yet. So, Revelle, Will Johnson from Michigan, I think he's playing today. I don't know if he's playing in this Michigan. I haven't seen the Michigan-Alabama game, whether he's playing or not. Michigan's got a couple of first-round guys. They got a defensive tackle named Graham that's in this thing, too, that a lot of people really were like. The best corner I've seen so far is Revelle from East Carolina, and he hurt his knee in September. And then people really like Will Johnson from Michigan.
Yeah.
Barron from Texas is in this mix. And then there's a kid named Harrison from
Maxwell Hairston.
Yeah,
Harrison. That's a Kentucky kid.
Kentucky kid.
He's real good.
Yeah. So those are – I have not seen the Notre Dame kid yet. But, yeah, corner is obviously a need for you right now.
I'll ask this question to Broadus. I asked it earlier, so, Will, you've kind of already responded to this. Does it matter how Aston Jeanty plays tonight?
No.
Like, if he were to carry this team to – like, he has – 30 carries for 225 yards and they beat Penn State. Could that move him up to like a fifth or sixth or seventh pick?
I think people are really a couple of things. I think people are in the NFL are talking about where you take running backs and they're going to bring up the number of carries this kid has. Those are going to be, but there's not a cleaner, maybe Mbuke, the wide receiver from Ohio State, Jeanty and that Ohio State receiver,
Mbuke,
are the two cleanest players in this draft.
Let me ask you on that with the carries, because we know there can be a rookie wall, right, from going from playing 12, 13, now 14 games to playing 17. Yeah. Do they look at it that it's better that they see the endurance with the higher carries? Are they looking for more freshness?
They're thinking about freshness because what they're thinking about is they're only going to have a short career as is.
Mm-hmm.
And so with that being said, they're thinking the more carries you put on these kids, the more likely is that they hit the wall faster. And I think he is rare. I think he's better than Bijan Robinson myself. I really do. This kid never comes off the field. He can pass block. He can catch. He's tough. He's explosive. Mm-hmm. He makes people miss. There's too much to like about this kid. Can he be a difference maker for you? Absolutely. Is he going to play 15 years for you? Absolutely not.
Let me ask you this real quick, too, because, Mike, you just said, I mean, if the Cowboys win and then you do go down to, say, 16, let's say it's 17 carries, 61 yards tonight. Does he slip down to, you know, the late teens, 20s?
He'll slip naturally because people aren't going to take a first-round running back. And he will be the best player on a lot of teams' boards when they get to their pick. He will be the best player on a lot of teams' boards. And what will happen is those teams will window dress their board. You should put that kid where you absolutely would take him.
Will you be, I don't know if Will, if this is a good question for you, but will you be upset as a Cowboys fan if the pick right before you is the San Francisco 49ers and they take Aston Jeanty to replace they're kind of hurt running back.
Sure.
And then all of a sudden they got their situation again where they're like, all right, Brock Purdy, we got you a stud running back to hand the ball off to 25 times a game.
Yeah. I would be like say, I me personally, if I'm sitting there like at 13 and Ashton Jeanty's on the board, I turn that card in. I don't know if the Cowboys would turn that card in because, like I say, I'm trying to limit my potential mistakes, trying to get the cleanest, healthiest player I can get. But I would be upset if he went right before me. Yes, I would be.
If you knew that San Francisco was picking right ahead of you like it is today, they're picking 11, you're picking 13, and it cost you a third-round pick to go to 10 to get him, would you trade a third-round pick to go up three spots to, if you kind of knew San Francisco is going to take this kid?
Well, now I'm down to now I've used two picks on players. I've used my fourth round pick for Mingo, and now I've used my pick to move up.
Yeah.
And you know, that's to me, it would be if you had your four. I don't know if I could sacrifice two players.
Gotcha. It's malpractice. Now maybe that's just because I'm in opinion.
You know what though? Let's do this, Mike. Yeah, I'd do it. I'm not going to ride the fence on this kid's that good of a football player. You know, I think it's unfortunate Dallas doesn't have their four. And it's gonna cost you it to potentially, but Dallas cannot afford to give up picks now.
Yeah.
And I think there's gonna be a good player there for you. I wish it was Ashton Jeanty. I really, really do, because I think he is a outstanding football player, and you'll see it tonight against Penn State.
I can't wait for tonight.
Yeah. I mean, so many places that they need help and depth that I would just
look. I'm not a college football guy. I don't watch tons of it, but I guess tonight also just looking at this mock draft, and I don't know how great he is, but he is in the first round. They have Tyler Warren as a first round tight end in this mock draft.
Probably number one tight end.
Yeah. I personally, I tell you what, I really do like my kid, Mason Taylor from LSU. I think Loveland from Michigan is another one that's playing. I believe
good pedigree
playing,
with Taylor.
Yeah, playing this afternoon. And Warren's a good player. Everybody's got him as the top guy. I think Taylor, Loveland, and Warren.
Okay.
Kind of all of them are together there.
But at least for the audience, a couple guys to watch tonight. Jeanty, and not that Warren is on the Cowboys board in the first round, because you're tight end. I think you're solid at tight end if I'm the Cowboys.
Mason Taylor, the son or nephew?
Son of
Hall of Famer Jason Taylor, so
nephew of Joy Taylor.
That's right.
There you go.
Yeah, even better. All right, let's just talk some college football. Carter Freeman's going to join us next. Does Carter agree with Mike Bassick that among other topics here, we're going to hit in what's been my favorite subject all year long, in the initial college football 12-team playoff season. What a year it has been. It's the KNC Masterpiece here on 105.3 The Fan. Will Chambers in today with Mike Bassick and Alec Medford, now joined by College Carter.
Gentlemen.
How are you?
Dude, I am so pumped to talk to you, Carter.
I honestly forgot we had a college football playoff game on tonight. So when I woke up this morning and saw that
not
on
all
like
four
ESPN
tomorrow,
feed, I was
yeah.
like, all right.
I know
here
you
we
just
go.
Said that. Can I get the party started though, Will, with
Please.
University of Texas? Because we do have a local team, a regional team in this thing. We haven't talked about them yesterday or today.
Mm-hmm.
They're favored by 13 points for the noon kickoff tomorrow against Arizona State.
I'm kind of with Bobby. He said this morning it should be 23.5. I don't totally agree with that. I think this is going to be the blowout.
I agree. I was on KRLD earlier.
You're on KRLD right now.
Yeah, double KRLD day for me.
You're
but
AM and FM.
On the AM earlier, I said that
I think
Clemson, the team Texas just beat by double digits, is a more talented team than this Arizona State team that they're about to play. And Arizona State probably has a better singular player in Cam Scataboo. Although with what Cade Klubnik did with Clemson, it's close.
Hey, great game.
This is strength on strength for, you know, Texas run defense versus Arizona State's running game. And Texas's run defense has been excellent all year.
Outstanding. Arizona State's without their top wide receiver, Jordan Tyson. And Sam Levitt from Michigan State transfer. I'll say this, if he is able to make some big plays down the field, it could get, I would be a little bit nervous if I were Texas fans, because you have the speed, you've got everything on defense. You really have everything to shut them down.
But that's something we saw that Cade Klubnik and Clemson were able to exploit in the second half of their game in Austin a couple weekends ago. Was in the second half, it was just pass after pass after pass, and it worked. And the reason
but that
Clemson
was
stopped
in
scoring
a comeback,
is when they started to run the ball.
Well, yeah, and I think that was kind of in a and kind of a comeback effort. I think if it, it's a good point. I guess I'm thinking it more in regards to the first half and like the first quarter. Because Texas kind of just boom, boom, boom. And they have done that all year. In fact, I don't think that they've had their scoring touchdowns on their first two possessions, let alone their first three.
Yeah, I believe I saw that was the same stat. That yeah, they hadn't
and done
that
until
this game.
And from then on, you knew Clemson was going to be throwing the football. And I will say last week, and the biggest key for everybody was that every team was able to, at some point, run the football. Now, I think Ohio State did
except
a better job of... Well, no, the winners.
Oh, the winners. Okay.
I think Ohio State set up the run by the pass, which they should have. But, yeah, and I think they're going to be able to run it against Arizona State.
I'm rooting for UT.
Okay.
I think the Longhorns are going to win. You guys are way more experts on this, like 1,000 times more of an expert. But since you guys are talking about UT and how they're going to blow this game out, Will, give me $20... Plus 13.
Okay. All right.
Arizona State.
Forks up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Forks up.
I'm rooting for UT. If I lose this 20, I want UT to win. If they win by 20, great. I'm going to be honest. I am not a Quinn Ewers fan. I don't think he's a good quarterback.
No.
I think he's solid for, I think he's going to be a horrible draft pick. And I hope I'm wrong. I hope Quinn Ewers does great. He's a local
kid. If he's drafted this year, I agree.
But give me Arizona State because I do think that they'll be able to keep it close enough to cover the spread.
My biggest thing in this one is so far we have not seen any of these, you know, pop-up teams, so to speak, SMU, Indiana, match the moment. And Arizona State.
I remember watching Arizona State playing the Rose Bowl, and it was a good game.
Oh,
Jake
Joe
Plummer.
Germain and Ohio State versus Jake Plummer.
Remember Jake Plummer?
Wouldn't they have been national champions that year had they won that game?
I don't know.
I think they were undefeated. This is what, 96, right?
Yeah.
I believe they were undefeated going into that game. I think they would have potentially been national champions had they won that game. Because that's one of those weird ones you look back. It's like Arizona State was, you know, 12-1 this year.
Good recall on that. Boy, I had not considered that. Plus, right. I don't think the words Joe Germain have come out of my mouth in about 15 years. But
I think the way, if just on the topic of Quinn Ewers, if he plays down to the level of competition, that's how Texas loses this game.
Yeah.
If he plays neutral, well, like he did against Clemson, they're going to win by double digits.
If they have red zone interceptions, like red zone turnovers, and that's why I've been saying pretty consistently, you got
to
play Arch Manning more in these games, because especially in the red zone. But I agree. I mean, I think the biggest problem is going to be when Quinn Ewers goes up against Ohio State or Oregon.
I feel like I'm leading this topic because I know you guys could talk for hours about one game. Let's move on. How in the world is Ohio State, thank you, because I just, how are they favored by 2.5 points?
Because they finally look like the team we thought they were going to be in the preseason, because they just put, you know, a mollywhopping on Tennessee, and there's a good Tennessee team, but the first time these teams played, it was a close game, and it was in Oregon, and Ohio State only lost by 1 point.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and here, well, go ahead. I'll let you finish.
I've said it a couple times on these airwaves, but Oregon, they're undefeated. They're just a boring, undefeated team. Like, I don't think people really look at them as, like, that exciting. So I think because of that, we just saw Ohio State look as good as they did against Tennessee, and they were supposed to be this team the whole year. That's why it shifted in their favor.
I think Chip Kelly has been holding this team back a little bit by wanting to be very physical and running the football with two very capable backs. And let's be honest, Will Howard is not spectacular in any way.
He's a get-the-job-done kind of guy.
He's a guy like, get it to those guys over there, Jeremiah Smith and Amika Igbuka. You know, two of the best receivers that you're going to have. Jeremiah Smith is the best in the country. I mean, I think that's consensus there. And he's 19 years old, if that. Instead, Michigan, they were trying to run the ball and establish all that. And then my question after that game was, what exactly was the game plan here? Why would you continually go to that? And it wasn't working. And then against Tennessee, that first drive, they had some penalties in there that help. It 75 yards on that drive, all of them through the air and penalty. Second drive, 18 yards, boom, to Jeremiah Smith. Run it for four, boom, pass it for 40 to Amika Igbuka. They were doing the pass to set up the run, and that's where they are dynamic, and that's where they have to be. Will may throw it to you. But it doesn't matter if you're getting those big splash plays, I feel like. And that's what they're going to have to do in the beginning. That and get after Dylan Gabriel. Two losses Ohio State has had this year. Didn't get a sack in it. The only games this year they haven't recorded a sack. And they're usually getting 3, 4, or 5. They've got to get pressure on Gabriel.
Chip Kelly's biggest mistake was leaving Oregon, and Chip Kelly won't figure it out against the Ducks. Give me the Ducks +2.5, and they're going to win straight up.
Isn't it funny that would be an upset, technically, the number one team over the number 8 team?
Honestly, it didn't matter who. I mean, I can argue my way for either of these teams to win. I literally do not know what I'm going to see outside of what I believe we're going to see, and that is the Peach Bowl from 2 years ago between C.J. Stroud and Stetson Bennett, Georgia and Ohio State.
Yep.
I think that's the game we're going to get. And boy, God, from my lips to God's ears, we get that, especially in the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, that scene with the sun setting on the mountains, it's everything you could ask for. My fun Ohio State fact is they haven't allowed a passing touchdown since they lost to Oregon.
Okay, I'm glad you brought that up.
4 passing touchdowns all year, 2 of them to Gabriel in the Oregon loss, 2 before that, none since.
So what they're doing differently is they're playing Caleb. I was listening to Joel Klatt earlier in the week because he talks to the coaches and all that, and he explained how Caleb Downs, they moved him closer to the line of scrimmage, so he's really playing basically in the middle of the field. Also, in the beginning of the year, they're really just doing straight rushes. And they could not get after Dylan Gabriel, who is just carving up Denzel Burke. Mm-hmm. 212, 2 touchdowns in the first half. So now they're doing a little bit more exotic looks and, you know, and blitzing to get after the quarterback. So it is a really different defense from what they saw in the first
matchup.
This
is why I have to lead you guys. We got 3 or 4 minutes left here at most. Notre Dame and Georgia. And what, Quincy Carter's the quarterback in this game for Georgia?
Going old school.
And they're favored by 1.5? Give me Notre Dame plus 1.5.
Okay, all right, good. I like Georgia in this one.
I like Georgia as well. And I'm still riding off the fact that they beat Texas with a backup quarterback on short notice coming in for an injured player, and they still came back and beat what a lot of people think is the best team in the playoff. I hold a lot of value in that. And Will's point from earlier in the show, Gunnar Stockton's now had a month in Georgia's offense to be the lead guy and figure things out. And I think that's going to show. I think this is going to be just as good of a game as the Rose Bowl could be.
Yeah, I think so too. These are going to be the 2 close games. I mean, look, the passing game for Notre Dame is not dynamic. You know, Riley Leonard, you know, runs the football pretty well, and Georgia does struggle against quarterbacks or teams that have quarterbacks that can run it. But it's the most fascinating thing of the weekend, I think, is going to be Gunnar Stockton. He was an All-American after his freshman year of high school. 5-star recruit, was 24/7 Sports number 1 dual threat, you know, quarterback coming into college. Who knows? This could be like you know, the revealing of Tua back when Jalen Hurts was the quarterback at Alabama. So,
man,
I don't know. I'm not predicting that, but
I think just the way Kirby Smart builds his teams, and I know the offense this year hasn't been as good as Georgia's has been over the last couple years, but it seems as easy of a spot to come in, easy, relatively straightforward as a spot to come into as a quarterback and know what you're doing and get the offense to hum, get the defense will do its job, and Georgia will just keep rolling.
Mike, you're right in this. If Notre Dame does win this, it'll be the biggest bowl win in 4 decades.
What if they win it on a last second, like long pass, and Notre Dame,
hey,
the Catholics,
that's exactly
win on a
the
Hail
stuff.
Mary.
And then proving me wrong. I mean, how many times do we do this when we have these conversations? It's like the one thing that you think, no, they can't really do. And you're like, boy, did they do the crap. Well, last week, Clemson.
Hey.
Well, and Notre Dame had Riley Leonard had a really good passing game. Like, he was passing the ball really well against Indiana, which I thought that was going to be mostly run heavy.
Yeah.
And they were really balanced in that game.
Yeah. You have all the favorites in our $20 betting.
Oh, yes. Yes, I do.
You have tonight, you have Penn State -11.5.
What's the Georgia Notre Dame line now?
It's 1.5.
1.5.
Okay.
You have Texas at -13.
That's big.
You have Ohio State at -2.5.
It's moved to 2.5.
Yeah.
Because it was 1 last I saw.
And you have
Sharps
Georgia
are going in then.
At -1.5. So you have all the favorites, I have all the dogs.
Okay.
I can't wait. I'm excited, but I'm super excited now that I have a whole $80 on the line in these games.
Four hours till Boise State and Penn State tonight. Can't wait.
I'm Papa Doe-ing it. If you want to say what's up to me, I'll be at the Oaklawn Papa Doe's.
Oh, hell yeah.
Having a nice seafood dinner, tower. Early dinner. Well, I like their I do like their fried platter where everything's fried.
That's right.
I know. Just fry it all up.
Yeah,
for
it's
me.
The last it's time you'll have it this year. Yeah, last time of the year.
Yep. And then I'm going all underdogs tomorrow.
It's on the dogs.
Did you give picks on these as well while we were on the way through?
Penn State, Texas, Oregon, Georgia.
Okay. All right.
So you like
two Big Ten.
You like
two
one
SEC.
Underdog in Oregon. And you like
who's the number one seed? Yeah. So yes.
Oregon is so fast too.
I think Boise State will cover tonight, though. I'm with you. I think they'll cover. Penn State gives up a lot of rushing yards. They don't give up a lot of big plays, which is what Ashton Gentry's thing is. They give up a lot of yards. So I think he will wear them down
and
as
they
much
don't
as
do,
he can.
They're not explosive offensively. Aller is, I had a note here. So I'm not going to.
We'll leave
this
it
is awesome, though.
Really quickly, early in the game against SMU beat themselves. Penn State didn't have to do a whole lot to win that game. If Boise State doesn't crap themselves to begin this game, that's Penn State they didn't have to face that with SMU. I think that's going to keep things close too.
Gia follows a gambler. I wonder as for crosstalk who he likes in these four games.
We'll find out next.
Maybe I double bet.
Oh. Find out next on The Fan. I want to give my personal great thanks to you gentlemen. All three of you. It's been a fun couple of days sitting in for Kevin and Corey. One final time in the KNC Masterpiece here on 105.3 The Fan. Will Chambers with Mike Bassett, Alec Medford, Carter Freeman on video. I want to give thanks to Mickey Spagnola for joining us earlier as well as the man who was just stepping in here on my right, Brian Broaddus. Hopped in for a segment and welcome in Eric Chiafalo and our chat with the fellas from the G-Bag Nation brought to you by D&M Leasing.
Chi, real quick.
Yeah.
You do that gambling show?
BetQL.
BetQL?
Yeah.
I'm betting $20. I'm taking all the underdogs in all of these college football games. Who do you like? Do you like all the favorites?
No. I mean, I think you're barking up the right tree in my mind. You're just taking the points.
I'm taking Boise State plus 11.5 tonight.
I like that.
I'm taking Arizona State. Plus 13, even though I'm rooting for UT.
Right.
But I just think that it'll be a closer game. Maybe I'm crazy because the last playoff games were all like 100-point losses by the underdogs.
Yeah, but Texas hasn't been blowing people out lately.
And then this is the most crazy one. I have Oregon, the number one seed. They are right now plus 2.5.
That's crazy.
They are a 2.5-point underdog as the number one seed who's undefeated.
Yeah. I know it was a close game in Oregon versus the Buckeyes, obviously, earlier in the season, but. Man, it is crazy to think Dan Lanning, with multiple weeks to prepare, and now gets the added bulletin board material of, look, you guys are the underdogs. They don't even think you guys already beat this team. Like, his motivational tactics.
It's a home game for Oregon, too.
Yeah, it is.
That's a good point as well with that's where it's going to be.
Yeah, it's a home game.
It's one of those things to where... This is why I struggled with this game and trying to where I really felt about it. Like, because I love both teams and what we saw recently from Ohio State playing the way that they should be. Now, I would assume that the game plan would be similar to what we just saw against Tennessee, but who knows? But if it's like that, I mean, I think I'll say it again, the Georgia Ohio State game, the Peach Bowl from a couple years ago, the first round of the playoffs with CJ Stroud, Stetson Bennett, that we're going to get a game like that. Both have really good defenses. Both are really fast. Oregon's faster, especially on defense, where Ohio State defensively up front is just more stout. But I think, Brian, it reminded me of, you know, when you have in the divisional round, you had the bye and then a team that had a really, really good wild card game. Comes in with some, you know, momentum, playing well, and it's a little bit sluggish to start for the team that had the week off. And then next thing you know, boom, upset. And I was like, that, not to talk myself into Ohio State with that, but I can see all of the angles here.
Yeah, the head coach, quarterback combo, I will go Dan Lanning and Gabriel over.
Gabriel is oddly underrated.
He is.
Nobody's talking about
him. No, because he's not super flashy or whatever, but he completes basically every ball he throws. And I would not be trusting Ryan Day in this scenario. Yeah, you do trust Dan Lanning. Talk about a difference maker at head coach. That's a guy right there.
A lot of pressure on those Ohio State kids.
Yeah.
Just because of every bad play, every bad series, it's going to feel like the weight of the world's fallen on them with that Ohio State fan base. And they feel that. They play that way sometimes. And I think Ooh. That Ohio State, I think Oregon, Stewart, the wide receiver there, he's a really good player. So they've got some really good defensive players. They've got, they've got some offensive weapons. They've got offensive linemen. There's a lot of things to really like about Oregon in this football game.
Brian, would you say the same thing about the Dallas Cowboys in that the reason they play somewhat so bad for a 30-year period in the playoffs is they feel the weight of Troy Aikman and Roger Staubach and Dorsett and Emmett and just the success that we were used to? I'm 47. You're even older. You can remember the Staubach championships. Mm-hmm. But, is that why they play so bad come playoff time? Is they feel that same weight?
Mike, you're going to find this really surprising. I don't think a lot of these players know who the hell Troy Aikman is or who the hell Michael Irvin is.
Yeah.
I think these players nowadays really don't understand the history of organizations. There's some that do. I'm going to say that Tyler Smith understands who played for the Dallas Cowboys. But there's a lot of these players. I remember working in Green Bay. And the history of the Packers and stuff, a lot of these players, these young players don't even know. When you say a name, they're like, who? Like, we used to have an honorary captain program, bring back these old players.
Yeah.
And these players didn't even know what these guys did. And we're getting to the point now where some of these players know Troy Aikman only as a broadcaster. They don't know Troy Aikman as a player. What kind of, Michael Irvin, they wouldn't know him as a player. They know him as a broadcaster. It's unfortunate that and I don't think the pressure's on. I think kids are completely different today when it comes to understanding the teams they play for and the history of the teams they play for. They just don't get it like, say groups in the past.
Okay.
I tell you what, too, with all the controversy around Cam Ward and, playing and not playing the second half to break the touchdown record and all that, Dylan Gabriel's three behind him.
Yeah, he's probably going to reset it if they go on to win. he could do it as early as this game, or if they win, then at some point in the next couple of weeks, that record will be rebroken. Now, I did want to go back to, that means you got Notre Dame?
I have Mike. Notre Dame plus 1.5. I just think Georgia, I get what they did with the backup quarterback. Mm. I think playing a backup quarterback, I think Notre Dame's awesome. I get they had the horrible loss. I don't know. When I watch them, maybe I'm crazy.
I agree. I haven't watched Notre Dame a lot.
I just think they're awesome. And I think Georgia, for some reason, they have Texas's number. But when I've watched Georgia, even against Texas, I haven't been super impressed. I'm not saying they're a bad team. They're good. But without their quarterback.
For sure.
And playing a backup, I think Notre Dame's going to win that game.
You know what? The thing about with Notre Dame, and this will be interesting if we see with their head coach and how he's had to deal with some big game. They've had the worst loss, by the way, of any team in the playoffs. Northern Illinois. It was a bad loss for them. But I will say this, the thing that Georgia can hang their hat on, and I've already watched 55 players, I felt like I've watched 4 or 5 Georgia defenders already that are first round type players.
Man, I think
I think that's where Notre Dame's speed has gotten better and their ability to play. Maybe those years in the ACC have helped them having to deal with the Clemsons and people like that. But Georgia, even with the backup quarterback, is going to present a different challenge defensively.
And even though Notre Dame is one of the top pass defenses in the country and they've got some good players, but then you consider I've been defending Notre Dame's schedule, so to speak, because it got tougher, but we're still not talking an SEC schedule. And the weapons that Georgia, if they continue with the dropsies, that's going to be a problem.
They lead the nation in that. They are not one of the better pass receiving teams when it comes to securing catches.
But now they have a mobile quarterback. I know he's the backup, but he brings a different dimension with being able to run around. Yeah. And you have multiple weeks to build something around him offensively.
And when Georgia has looked poorly, it's been because they've been dominated up front, and Carson wasn't all that mobile.
Beck is the what's really killed them in games is Beck's thrown interceptions at the absolute worst time.
He tried to let UT win the first matchup.
They might actually play a more, and I'm not going to say conservative style of offense. Their offense might be not as turnover prone in this game. And even though in the championship game, our quarterback threw, he had backup threw an interception late in that game that could have been costly. But I tell you what, man, they're going to hang their hat on this defense, and that's how they're going to try and beat Notre Dame, and they're going to try and beat Notre Dame up front. Is what they need to do.
Yeah, I think ETN's going to go off because, I mean, the Notre Dame's best defensive player, their defensive tackle, out. Yeah. That dude is their cornerstone piece defensively. And you remove him, I think that's going to be problematic.
Can Notre Dame block this front? When I'm talking about Michael Williams and Walker and those guys, can they block these guys? We talked about Starks at safety. I mean, big time players.
Upsets Texas already happening. Alabama favored by 17 today. Look, they're going to lose.
Yeah. Texas, by the way, in the two games versus Georgia, ran it for 29 yards and 31 yards, respectively. That is...
And that's where Texas lives, is running the football.
Yeah. And Jeremiah Love, who I think is terrific, what's that going to look like? Are they going to be able to run the football? Because they're not dynamic in the passing game with Riley Leonard. And if that's the way Notre Dame is going to have to win, that is advantage Georgia for sure. What do you guys have coming up? I could do this all day, by the way.
Yeah, pure gold as always, Will. Thanks for asking. Yeah, we're going to have a ton of college football stuff going on today, so looking forward to that. We have Mark Schlereth joining the program at 4:40, Odyssey NFL Insider, and it's a TD Tuesday.
Love it.
Let's close down this year in style.
Awesome. Terrific. Thank you again, Brian, for hopping in
with us.
No
problem, man.
Michael.
Will.
It was a pleasure, man.
You were like
a lot of fun.
Two guys and one person.
thank you. It's been a blast, guys. I'll be back at some point.
We'll see you next year, Will.
But maybe next year here in the KNC Masterpiece. Till then, you're going home with the G-Bag Nation.